you're listening to Idaho Matters. We're continuing our look at the state's food system in light of the coronavirus. Now, if you were with us last segment, we talked about family farms and what challenges and disruptions they're facing. Well, now we want to take a look at essential workers at large-scale food operations. From dairies to meat processing plants, our state relies on a significant number of Latino workers. As concern rises over COVID-19 outbreaks at these facilities, the question remains, how are workers staying safe? So to help us understand this issue is Samantha Guerrero with the Idaho Organization of Resource Councils, as well as Nicole Foy, reporter with the Idaho Statesman. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Nicole, you cover agriculture here in Idaho. So what can you tell us about the demographics of the folks who are working in, you know, our state's big ag sector?
Well, it should be a surprise to no one who lives near or lives in a farming community in Idaho that a significant percentage of these workers, and thus the counties that are the Idaho counties that are largely supported by ag work, are Latino. And also, too, often in some of these more rural areas of Idaho, they're also far more likely to speak Spanish as a first language. And so that's something that, you know, maybe people who don't know much about Idaho or don't know much about the ag industry don't always realize is that, yes, you know, the farmers who are running the farms and the food processing plants may not be Latino, but the workers by and large are.
Nicole, do we know how much of our food products industry really relies on Latino workers?
Well, it's really easy to just look at the demographics of at least one food processing plant. I mean, so I was reporting on the outbreak at the Weezer Fry Foods, and when I went out there, saw what had already been assumed is that out of about, I would say, roughly 250-260 workers at one plant, the vast majority of those workers out there with their families getting tested for coronavirus were Latino. Almost all of them spoke Spanish better than English. And so really, you can pretty much go down the line when you're talking about meat processing plants, when you're talking about farm workers working in the fields here domestically, as well as the foreign temporary workers who are brought in through the H-2A program, primarily from Mexico. By and large, you're going to find mostly Latinos working in Idaho's ag industry, whether it's in a food processing plant or out in the fields.
And Samantha, your job is to advocate on behalf of these folks who have been essential workers throughout this entire crisis. And back in April, you actually raised some alarm bells about the need for masks. So what are your concerns when it comes to protecting these workers on the job?
Yeah, so with the Idaho Organization of Resource Councils, we started a new chapter in Canyon County called Vision 2C after last year, 20 farm workers were sprayed with pesticides in Parma and sent to the hospital during Memorial Day weekend. No one was held accountable for this incident, and some of these farm workers are still experiencing symptoms. So even before COVID, farm workers were already working in conditions that placed their health and safety at risk. These farm workers face disadvantages inherent in their gender, race, and social class, and these are compounded by their immigration status, their role, location. And for farm workers who are Latina farm workers, they are particularly facing multiple challenges ranging from food insecurity, social isolation, substandard housing, and limited healthcare, and this exposure to chemicals and injury to hazards in the workplace. So any of these factors alone can lead to poor health, but these women and men experience them simultaneously. And so for us, getting face masks to farm workers who were already at risk to get COVID and to be exposed to it, since they weren't being isolated at home. They don't have benefits. They aren't able to take time off if they get sick, and they lose wages if they were to get sick. It was very important for us to start getting those masks out to them as soon as possible.
Okay. And then Samantha, for folks that are working like inside a large scale operation, is there really room for social distancing?
what we have been hearing is that there hasn't been social distancing happening. As far as farm work, they have a little more ability to since they are outside. But if we are talking about H-2A workers who are provided housing by their employers, many times they live up to 8 people to a home in closed spaces. So they face, you know, a danger of that becoming a hotspot. And as well in these production plants where they're working side by side, these are huge hotspots.
And another question for you, Samantha, what would you like to see the state or frankly business owners do as this pandemic continues, but even beyond this, how can they better protect these workers?
You know, we have been working with other nonprofit organizations like Poder of Idaho and Community Council of Idaho to kind of fill in those gaps. As of now, all of the stimulus checks that have been made or packages have been leaving undocumented individuals out, in which, you know, many of them are who we rely on for essential workers and to do these jobs. And they don't have the benefits such as health insurance to get tested. They lack childcare. We have issues with programs of education, nutrition, the inability to pay for basic products such as food. So, you know, increasing funding for undocumented individuals in the state is one way, but I'm not sure if we will do that in the state of Idaho. So within our organizations, we are creating a fund and we are asking for contributions to the Community Council of Idaho so we can set up this fund to be able to provide whether it's funding or, you know, for people to get tested for COVID or if they need funds for housing, we can be able to help that. But we are asking, we need to protect our workers. We need to ensure that they can have time off and they can have paid leave and not worry that if they do, they are affected by COVID, that they're going to lose wages. Because as of now, if one of the farm workers were to get sick, they lose wages. Or if a family member of theirs gets sick, they aren't able to leave work. They fear retaliation. They fear losing their jobs.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. We've been talking with Samantha Guerrero of the Idaho Organization of Resource Councils and Nicole Foy of the Idaho Statesman. And I do want to make a quick note. Nicole is going to be back on the program on Tuesday to talk with us in more detail about Idaho's very first outbreak of COVID-19 at a food processing plant in Weezer. So be sure to join us for that conversation. Nicole has done some in-depth reporting on it. You're listening to Idaho Matters.